Mars Incorporated, makers of America's most enjoyable candy bars, presents Kitchen Time! Of Snickers welcome you to Curtain Time. Theatergoers dressed in bright summer clothes fill the lobby again tonight. And here, as at every opening night, is the well-known man about town, your host, Patrick Allen.
Good evening.
Mr. Allen, I'm told there's something fishy about tonight's play. Is that right?
Well, it all depends upon what you mean, John. But there's the overture. So we'd better hurry inside the theater for tonight's production of Curtain Time.
Tickets, please.
Thank you, sir.
Seventh row center, seat 7 and 8.
Thank you. And it's almost time for the play, so let's look at our program. Harry Elders and Annette Sargent, supported by the Curtain Time players, are starred tonight in Hook, Line, and Sinker. Mr. Elders plays the part of Ted Brannigan, and Miss Sargent is Peggy Fraser.
Curtain Time!
There's the call for the first act of Hook, Line, and Sinker. The scene is the office of Hal Ward, president of Ward Public Relations Incorporated. Mr. Ward has just started an earnest conversation with Ted Brannigan, a young publicity man in his employ.
Ted, this is the biggest account that's ever hit this office.
Well, that's wonderful, Mr. Ward.
Fraser Fisheries wants us to put their lobsters into every home in the United States, and you're the man to do it.
Well, thanks, Mr. Ward. I'm glad you have faith in me.
I have.
But I hate lobsters.
You do? Have you ever eaten lobster?
Once, and I was sick as a dog.
Oh, so you're allergic to them, eh?
Mr. Ward, any kind of seafood and I are like DDT and mosquitoes.
Well, that doesn't matter. Your job is to go up to Fraser Fisheries in Cozy Harbor, Maine, and get things rolling.
Yes, sir.
You'll meet Obadiah Fraser, president of Fraser Fisheries up there, and, well, Ted...
Yeah?
Don't laugh when you meet him. He's been around fish so long, he even looks like one.
Okay, I can keep a straight face.
He'll give you all the dope about lobsters. Mm-hmm. You know, how they catch them, ways of cooking and eating them.
Oh, please, Mr. Ward, don't mention eating them.
Oh?
Look, maybe I could tackle another job.
You're my best man, Ted. Now, let's not get squeamish about this.
Well,
if we make a success of Fraser's lobsters, we can get the account for all their seafoods. Smelts, codfish, herring, haddock.
Oh, please.
Why, there's no end to where this can take us.
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of.
Here are your tickets for Cozy Harbor, my boy.
Okay, Mr. Ward. But I can hear a little voice saying, Ted Brannigan, you shouldn't do this.
Excuse me, please.
Oh, I'm sorry. Here, I'll take my hat off the seat. I didn't know it was occupied.
I was in the dining car.
I just came back from there myself.
Oh, you did?
I thought I saw you. You were eating
grilled fin and haddock.
Fin and haddock. Looked more like an elephant cutlet to me.
Well, I guess you were brought up in the city.
I was. And you?
I was born and raised in Cozy Harbor, Maine.
Hey, that's where I'm going. Oh, what do you do up there?
Oh, I'm just a fisherman's daughter.
Well, you certainly don't look like a fisherman's daughter.
And how am I supposed to interpret that remark?
Well, you'd win first prize in my beauty contest any day.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Lovely sea green eyes. Hair the color of a golden sunset.
Oh, dear me.
And that outfit you're wearing, it's strictly Fifth Avenue, not Cozy Harbor.
But what should I be wearing, a sou'wester and rubber boots?
No, but say, tell me, what do people who eat fish see in the darn stuff?
Well, what's wrong with fish?
Nothing, as long as they stay in their nice little ocean and stop popping into people's frying pans.
Well, I like that. Do you know that fish help win the war?
What'd we do, use them as submarine carrier pigeons?
I'll also have you know that fish is one of the most nutritious foods there is.
Well, being a fisherman's daughter, you'd naturally stick up for the finny little fellas.
You bet I will. And what's more, it's people like you who are ruining our livelihood.
I beg your pardon?
If people only understood how good fish is for them, they'd eat more of it. And we fisher folk up here in Maine would make a better living.
Oh, well, if that's it, your cares are over.
Really?
I'm going up to your town to put the denizens of the deep in every home from coast to coast. I'm starting out with the ugliest of all creatures, the queen of the crustaceans, the lowly lobster.
Just who are you?
The name's Ted Brannigan, public relations.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm, and when I get through in Cozy Harbor, lobster will be as welcome on every table in this great country as meat and potatoes.
Oh, brother, do you like you.
What was that?
Oh, I was just thinking. With you at the helm, it's going to be a sorry season for the lobster.
You don't think I can do it, huh? But, well, what would a fisherman's daughter, even one as beautiful as you are, know about the power of public relations?
Well, if you're through with your left-handed compliments...
Oh, now, don't get sore.
Well, I will.
You know, I might run into you in Cozy Harbor, and I'll be working for Fraser Fishery.
Oh?
Ever hear of the outfit?
Yes.
And that reminds me. My boss says that the old guy who runs the place even looks like a fish.
You don't say.
Yeah.
Well, Mr. Brannigan, Cozy Harbor is a small place, and we'll very likely meet again.
Swell.
And,
What were you going to say?
Just that fish is a brain food. But if you ate nothing but fish for the next 50 years, you'd still be on a level with a sponge.
Well, why the sponge?
The sponge, Mr. Brannigan, has no brain.
Good morning, Mr. Fraser. I'm Ted Brannigan from Ward Public Relations.
Yeah, I know. I've been expecting you. Take care.
Thank you, Mr. Fraser.
Brannigan, I want to be perfectly honest with you.
Oh?
I don't give a hoot about public relations.
Well, now,
what's more, I don't approve of this business of trying to glamorize the lobster. It wasn't my idea. It was my partner's.
Mr. Fraser, when I get through with my campaign, both you and your partner will be glad you retained my firm.
I doubt it.
Oh, but we've been in the...
I've been selling seafood for over 30 years. I made more money on lobsters than anything else. Now,
Fraser Fisheries is about to double its income from lobsters, perhaps triple it.
Oh.
By making the American public lobster conscious.
Hmm.
Now, the first thing I'm going to do is to go out and find the most beautiful girl in Cozy Harbor.
Why?
Why, in order to make her Miss Lobster of 1947.
Lobster?
I even have a girl in mind.
I suppose you're going to put claws on her and parade her around the country in an oversized lobster pot.
Well, now, I can see you have a sense of humor, Mr. Fraser.
I have. You're wearing it pretty thin. Miss Lobster.
Ah, but...
You better talk to my partner.
I'd be happy to.
Through that door there, in the next office. Kindly close the door quietly behind.
Yes, sir. See you later, Mr. Fraser. Oh, pardon me, miss, but I'm...
Yes, I know who you are.
Why?
Remember? On the train.
Well, if it isn't the fisherman's daughter. Do you work here?
I do.
Well, that makes it perfect. You know what I'm going to do for you?
I suppose you tell me.
I'm going to make you Miss Lobster of 1947.
No, not really. If I weren't so busy, I'd swoon.
First, of course, I have to talk to your boss.
My boss?
Yeah, Mr. Fraser's partner. Old Fishface said I'd find him in here.
He said you'd find him in here?
Well, him, her, or... Hey, don't tell me that you're... Oh, no.
Oh, yes, Mr. Brannigan. I am Mr. Fraser's partner.
Oh.
And I persuaded him that we should get a public relations firm to boost our lobster sales. But it seems I made a mistake.
Now, no snap judgment.
Anyone who finds seafood is as faithful as you do.
Now, wait a minute. I was just kidding on the train about not liking seafood. I love it.
And it's no use, Mr. Brannigan. You apparently have no faith in the lobster.
Oh, but I've never broken faith with a lobster yet.
Good day, Mr. Brannigan. I'll phone your firm and let them know that we no longer require your services.
Oh, but you can't do that. I'll lose my job. Oh, look,
Fraser. Peggy Fraser.
Miss Fraser, you've just got to... Did you say Fraser?
I did.
And then you're...
Yes, Mr. High Pressure. I'm the daughter as well as the partner of old Fishface, whom you just talked to in the next office.
Holy haddock. This shouldn't happen to a dogfish.
The curtain falls on the first act of the nice curtain time play, starring Harry Elders and Nana Sargent. And now, John Weigel.
Today is officially the first day of summer, and all of us are thinking in terms of summer sports and relaxation. But one little treat that always means delightful relaxation and enjoyment, winter or summer, is the taste treat of a Snickers candy bar. The moment you take your first bite of a Snickers bar, you know that this is truly fine candy. For with each bite, you enjoy the rare combination of a thick milk chocolate coating, a golden layer of smooth, creamy caramel, packed with crisp, freshly roasted peanuts, and a luscious nougat center, richly flavored with fresh peanut butter and real malted milk. All melt together in each enjoyable mouthful to give you that rare taste blend you can find only in a Snickers. When you want a special taste delight, have a Snickers.
Yeah.
second act of Hook, Line, and Sinker, brought to you by the makers of Snickers. Ted Brannigan, a young publicity man, has been given the assignment of glamorizing lobsters. But he hates seafood and unwittingly said so to Peggy Fraser, the daughter of his client, who is also her father's business partner. Well, as a result, Peggy is about to take action, while Ted stands by helplessly.
Mr. Brannigan, it's no use trying to persuade me.
Miss Fraser, if you'll just...
I'm calling your office right now and telling them to cancel our account.
Look, if you'll just give me another chance,
Operator, please get me the Ward Public Relations Office in New York City.
Oh.
Call me back when you get them.
Miss Fraser, I'll admit I was wrong in saying your old man... I mean, your father looked like a fish. He doesn't. Honest, he doesn't.
Please stop groveling, Mr. Brannigan. It's not becoming to one as brash as you are.
But, Miss Fraser, even if you don't care about me, think
of what?
Think of what will happen to my wife and children if I lose my job.
Your wife and children?
Of course. Here, I've got a snapshot of them in my wallet. Here, take a look.
Oh, good heavens. Five of them.
Five of the sweetest little tykes you ever laid eyes on?
Well, aren't you rather young to have so many children?
Well, Daisy and I married in our teens. That's Daisy at the extreme right. She's grown a little fat lately.
A little fat? She's immense.
Ah, yes, but Daisy's the salt of the earth. I just couldn't face her and the kids if I lost my job again.
Again?
Yes.
So you're used to losing jobs. Well, I shouldn't wonder.
But you will give me another chance for their sake.
Well...
Oh, thank you, Miss Fraser, thank you. You won't regret it.
There's one condition, Mr. Brannigan. You'll obey my orders to the letter.
I'll be your slave, I promise. Well, I could kiss you for being so kind.
Well, that's hardly necessary. And now I suggest you go down to the docks and try to absorb some of the atmosphere.
Yes, ma'am.
Later, we'll go out in one of the boats and you can see just how the men bring the lobsters in.
You mean on the water?
Don't tell me you're afraid of the water.
Miss Fraser, I used to get seasick in a rowboat in Central Park. But, well, if you say so.
And I do. That's all for now, Mr. Brannigan.
Yes, ma'am.
And remember, I'm doing this for your wife and kiddies.
Thank you. Daisy, the children, and I will never forget this. Never.
Miss Fraser speaking. Operator, I meant to cancel that call to New York, but as long as you put it to... Hello? Oh, Mr. Ward, I just called to say that Mr. Brannigan arrived and we're beginning our campaign. Well, I think he's going to be all right if he doesn't worry too much about his wife and children. What's that? You say Mr. Brannigan isn't married. Oh. Well, I'll call you, Mr. Ward, if I need anything. Goodbye. Why, that's phony. All right, Mr. Brannigan. If that's the way you want to play, I'll teach you a lesson you'll never forget. There you are, Mr. Brannigan.
Oh, hello, Miss Fraser.
I thought I'd come down to the docks to see how you're getting along.
Ah, I love the smell of the salt air, the sound of the waves washing against the dock, and...
the odor of freshly caught fish.
Yeah. Let's say those lobster boats bounce around in the water like corks, don't they?
In a choppy sea like this, yes, but they're seaworthy, as you'll find out.
As I'll find out.
We're going out in one of those boats right now.
Oh, but those waves look like mountains.
Oh, you'll get used to them. Let's take this small lobster smack the squid.
Look, Miss Fraser, I just thought of something. I've got to call my office right away. Business, you know.
Your business is right here, Mr. Brannigan. Get aboard.
But I...
Remember our agreement. And also think of your wife and kiddies.
Okay, but something tells me I'm not going to like this, even if it is for the wife and kiddies. Fraser, can't we turn back?
Hardly.
Well, I've got to get off this seagoing seesaw. I want to put my feet on dry land.
You're just a little seasick, Mr. Brannigan.
A little. I'm dying by inches.
Here, take this.
What is it?
It's the best remedy known for seasickness. A nice, big, fat, juicy dill pickle.
Oh, no. Take it away.
Okay. I'll eat it. I love them, even though I never get seasick. Mmm. Ooh, good. Nice.
Oh, good heavens, I'm dying, and she eats dill pickles.
Here, you'd better take a bite.
If you push that pickle under my nose, I'll jump overboard.
Okay. But you don't mind if I have another, do you?
Why did I ever get into this?
For the wife and kiddies, remember?
Look, Where's the drinking water? I've got to have a drink.
We haven't any aboard. You'll have to wait till we get back to shore. Sailing, sailing over the bounding main.
Stop it, please. Da-da. I hate that song. I hate the sea. All I want is to see land again.
Oh, speaking of land, look over there to starboard.
Can't raise my head. What is it, the Flying Dutchman?
It's a small island.
It is. It is. It's land. Oh, now I know how Columbus felt. Hey, what's wrong with the motor? It's missing.
Missing my foot. It's dead.
Dead?
Maybe I better take a look at the gas tank.
Is it empty?
Bone dry.
Oh, boy. Miss Fraser, I've run out of gas in lots of places, but never in the middle of the ocean. What do we do now? Summer ride back?
Is that a joke?
I didn't mean it to be.
Well, it's a good thing we're near this island. We can drift ashore.
And then what?
Well, Mr. Brannigan, it looks as though you and I will have to play Swiss Family Robinson until help arrives. If it does arrive, in time.
What do you mean, in time?
I mean, there's no drinking water on that island. Have you ever been thirsty, Mr. Brannigan? Real thirsty?
Well, I...
There's also a nor'easter blowing up. Might last for days.
Oh, good grief.
If it does, no boats will leave the mainland. And with no drinking water on that island, well...
And you've been eating dill pickles. You'll be so thirsty at it.
I know.
I wish I'd been born a camel.
Well, at least we won't starve. Not for a while.
What do you mean?
Well, there are four baskets of lobsters up forward.
Lobsters? Oh, no.
We can eat those as long as they hold out.
No.
Oh, great jumping filly of soul. He's fainted.
Before we bring you the third act of tonight's Curtain Time play, starring Harry Elders and Annette Sargent, here is John Weigel.
If you have never tasted a Snickers candy bar, you have a real taste thrill in store for you. For every bite of a Snickers bar is rich with the rare flavor of the choicest candy ingredients. The thick milk chocolate coating is no ordinary chocolate, but the finest pure milk chocolate. The golden layer of caramel is unusually smooth and creamy and packed with generous quantities of crisp, whole, freshly roasted peanuts. And the luscious nougat center is delicately soft and abundantly flavored with fresh peanut butter and real malted milk. Altogether, the milk chocolate, creamy caramel, crisp peanuts, and soft nougat make every bite of a Snickers bar a truly thrilling treat. Right down to the last delightful flavor that lingers in your mouth. When you want a special taste delight, have a Snickers.
Time.
There's the call for the third act of Hook, Line, and Sinker, brought to you by the makers of Snickers. Ted Brannigan managed to keep his public relations job of glorifying the lobster by agreeing to do anything Peggy Fraser ordered. Right afterwards, he and Peggy went to sea in a lobster smack, and Ted got very seasick. Then they ran out of gasoline, and with a gale coming up, Ted fainted. Well, now, a few minutes later, he comes to.
Where am I?
You're still aboard the Squid.
So what happened?
You just passed out. Then we drifted into shore, and I moored the boat to this old dock.
Oh.
How do you feel now?
A little better. But are you beginning to get thirsty?
I'm afraid so.
Gee, I'd do anything if I could help you.
You would?
Peggy,
Yes, Ted.
If we come through this alive.
Have you thought about what will become of your wife and five children if we don't?
My wife and children?
Ted, I've got to do something for them.
Oh, but...
I know. I'm going ashore and around to the other side of the island. Maybe I can signal to a passing ship.
Then I'm going with you.
Oh, no, Ted. You stay here. You can watch for any ships that pass on this side.
All right. But, Peggy...
Yes?
I've got a confession to make. I'm not married.
But those five children and your outsized wife.
They're my brother's wife and kids.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So is he. But, Peggy, please forgive me. It wasn't that I was afraid of losing my job.
Oh?
I wanted to be near you. ever since I met you on the train.
You've done nothing but insult me and everything I stand for.
Peggy, that's not...
You've treated all us fisher folk as though we were savages.
Peggy, I assure you,
I certainly hope you've enjoyed your laugh, Mr. Brannigan, because it looks like the last laugh you'll ever have.
Howdy, stranger.
Oh,
Name's Zeb Brewer. Saw you sitting there in the boat staring out to sea. Figured you might be in trouble.
I sure am.
Uh-huh.
How long have you been here on this island?
Oh, about 30 years.
30 years?
Yeah. Got a shack over on the other side of the island. Lobster fisherman.
But, say, how do you get fresh water here?
From a well. Mighty good water, too.
Oh, it is it?
That's what I said.
Look, Peggy Fraser wouldn't happen to know all about this island, would she?
Ought to. She and her pa's been out here many a time to pick up my lobsters.
I see.
Especially since I sold my power boat. Say, that looks like one of Fraser's smacks you're aboard.
It is, but something's wrong with the engine. I wonder, maybe you could find the trouble.
Well, I'll come aboard and take a look.
Oh, that's swell.
Yep. Well, can't hurt to give her a try, I will say. Now, let me see.
Hey, it worked.
Yep, fits the fiddle.
How about the gas tank?
Well, let's take a look in her.
How about it?
Over half full.
Plenty of gas, huh?
Uh-huh.
Zip, it's getting dark, and I'm afraid I might lose my bearings. I'll give you $20 to take me back to the mainland right now.
Did you say 20?
I did.
It's the deal, mister. Of course, I won't be able to get back here till tomorrow morning when the lobster smacks come out this way, but...
Anyone else live on this island, Zip?
No, I'm a bachelor, and I like plenty of solitude.
Well, I know one person who's going to be fed up to her sea green eyes with solitude. Okay, Zeb, heave ho. Let's sail the Briny Deep.
Father.
Oh, good morning, Peggy.
Father, where is he?
Where's who? And stop gritting your teeth.
Where is that snake in the grass, Ted Brannigan?
Oh, him. Haven't seen the hide nor hair of him. He's your problem, not mine.
Well, believe me, I'll take care of that problem when I get my hands on him.
Young lady, what's got your dander up?
Do you know where I spent the night?
Peggy, you know I went to Portland yesterday and just got back.
I was marooned on Horseshoe Island all last night. I never spent such a miserable night in all my life.
Oh, that's stupid. Hey, wait a minute. Yes? One of our lobster smacks is missing since yesterday afternoon. Which one? Squid, eh?
The squid?
Yes. I'll come right down to the dock, Jonathan. Goodbye.
Father, I took the squid out to Horseshoe Island yesterday afternoon with Ted Brannigan.
Then where is it now?
Well, I don't know.
But didn't you bring it back?
No.
Well, then it's at Horseshoe Island.
No, it isn't.
Then how'd you get back?
One of our other lobster smacks brought me home this morning.
So? Well, now, what I'd like to know is...
I left Ted Brannigan in the squid while I went around to the other side of the island.
Go on.
When I got back, Ted and the squid had disappeared.
Peggy, this is a case of the police. It's piracy on the high seas.
Oh, but, Father, Ted's lost.
He better stay lost.
Oh, but, Father...
Hand him a hat. Go down to the constable's office.
Oh, no, Father. This was all my fault.
That's your fault.
We've got to try and find Ted, if it's not too late.
Oh, that's the way it is. Well, all right,
but... There's not a minute to lose.
All right. But when we find him, he'd better do some tall talking. Well, better give up the search, Peggy. Get started.
Oh, but Father...
Well, if this squid is out here, we wouldn't be able to see her now anyway.
Oh, I guess you're right.
All right, I'll bring her about.
Oh, Father, look. Look over there to port.
By gum, it's the squid. She's wallowed in the waves.
And there's Ted in the bow. He's waving to us. Oh, thank goodness.
And that's Zeb Brewer sitting in the stern.
Oh, that's right. And, well, it looks as though we'll have to tow them in.
It does. And believe me, Mr. Brannigan and I are going to have a little talk. And it won't be about Miss Lobster of 1947.
Oh, boy, was that a session with your dad, Peggy.
Oh, it certainly was.
Am I glad to get out of his office?
Do you think we convinced him, Ted?
I sure hope so.
Oh, Ted, I'm sorry I tried to make you believe it. That we ran out of gas.
Well, that's what finally happened to Zeb and me after we got lost in the fog.
I'm terribly sorry.
If it weren't for you, Peggy, I'd probably still be out there.
Well, I know, Ted, but
Peggy, you were swell to do what you did after that wife and five kids yarn I handed you. But
what, Ted?
Well, if I did have a wife and five kids, I wouldn't kiss you like this.
Oh, Tanner. Am I glad you don't have a wife and five kids?
Oh, darling.
I just want to say... Oh, excuse me.
Well, that's all right, Zeb. Come in, come in. Peggy and I just decided we're going to be Mr. and Mrs. Brannigan.
Well, that's fine, but... Well, I was just going back to my island, and I figured that...
Oh, yes, Zeb, yes. I'll see you to the outside door. Excuse me for a moment, darling. I just want to say goodbye to Zeb.
Don't be long, sweetheart.
I won't, honey. Zeb, I want to thank you. Here's the 20 I owe you, and here's an extra 20.
An extra 20? What for?
For not telling anybody we emptied the gas tank into the ocean last night.
Well, it sure worked.
Like a charm. I figured that if Peggy gave a darn for me, she'd worry when I didn't show up and would come looking for me.
Darn how she took to that bait. Hook, line, and sinker.
Yes, sir.
Well, after you two been hitched, I want you and the missus to come to see me over in Horseshoe Island.
Zeb, that's a great idea.
Yes, sir. I'll fix you the doggone best lobster dinner you ever had.
Lobster?
Oh. Hey, young fellas. Well, I'll be. Miss Peggy. Oh, Miss Peggy.
Hey, Zeb, what's the matter? Oh, good heavens. What's Ted doing on the floor?
Darned if I know. All I did was mention lobster dinner, and he passed out colder than a dead mackerel.
The curtain falls on the last act of Hook, Line, and Sinker. Another curtain time play brought to you by the makers of Snickers. Tonight, Curtain Time starred Harry Elders as Ted Brannigan and Nana Sargent as Peggy Fraser. The supporting players were Jess Hugh, Sidney Elstrom, and George Caesar. The script is by Joseph T. Fox. The Curtain Time music is arranged and conducted by Bert Faber, and the entire production is directed by Harry Holcomb. And now, here are the stars of Curtain Time with a word about next week's play.
Well, first, Pat, I'd like to remind our listeners that June is Remember Disabled Veterans Month. To help veterans help themselves, send your contribution to the Disabled American Veterans, 41 East 42nd Street, New York, 17, New York.
Now, about next Saturday's play, Harry?
Well, Nanette plays a part of a school teacher, Pat.
And Harry is a Hollywood publicity man.
Well, there's quite a contrast there.
There is, Pat, but...
No fair, Harry Elders. We're not saying another word, except that the play's entitled Belle of the Barbary Coast.
And that's definitely that. Thanks and good night, Nanette Sargent and Harry Elders.
Good night.
Good night.
Now I'll join this gay theater crowd as it leaves the merchandise mart. Many on their way to the glamorous after-theater spot here in Chicago. Until next week, then, this is Patrick Allen reminding you of your date every Saturday, same time, same station, when the makers of Snickers present...
Curtain Time!
This is NBC, the national broadcasting company.